and is a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal. Let's go!
Glad to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com, live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. It's a Wings Weekly sort of day. We'll have that towards the bottom of the hour. Aberdeen Christian track and field head coach Sam Bjorkman, he'll be joining us here in the next 10 minutes or so as well. David Tewksbury along for the ride with you, sir, or madam, the listener. Thanks for lending us your ears. Also, my main squeeze, the Cobra, he's in studio here as well. How are you, sir?
Doing good. How are you doing today? How was your time off?
Doing well, yeah. Very, very, very solid time off there, certainly. And just enjoying a little bit of dad time. Just being dad for a couple of days. It was nice. My wife looked at me yesterday. She goes, you know, do you have to work in radio? Like, having you around home these last couple days has been very, very helpful. And I'm like, yeah, I'll bet it is. And it's just, well, you kind of knew that going into the whole relationship. Now we've been married for almost 5 years. But yeah, no, it's just nice spending some nice downtime a little bit, and just being around my daughter is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was probably like, hey, do you have to go back tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely. She's like, you know, I wish you were here in the morning, especially because I'm up every day at 5 a.m., same thing for you. It's kind of the nature of the beast when you work in radio. And she's like, morning is tough with little kids. And she's kind of flying solo there a little bit.
Doing a good job, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Heck of a job. I've got no complaints. So she's mom of the year. No two ways about it. I mean, shout out to all the moms out there for that matter. But especially my wife. All right. Let's go ahead and toss this thing into the air on FSA 1420 and 98.5. National championship was last night. Did you catch the game last night? Pretty good one, I would say.
Yeah, I did. I did, and it was about what I expected. I thought that game was going to come down to the wire. Personally, I liked Florida. Mm-hmm. They won, but it didn't really look like Florida came ready to play in the first half and really the start of the second half, but that's been kind of how the Final Four has been this year. Every team that won came back. Florida did it to Auburn. Houston did it to Duke. We talked about that at length yesterday. And then you saw it yesterday in the championship game as well. Teams just unable to hold on to leads. I don't know if it was the stage or whatnot, championship, Final Four, but they couldn't finish. The teams couldn't finish, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah, there was a lot of games, like you mentioned, over the last, you know, Sweet 16, Elite Eights, Final Fours, especially with the Duke deal and against Houston, just unable to close. But yeah, to your point, Florida really came out not flat, because they looked a little bit too amped up. They had a lot of turnovers. I think they had 9 turnovers in the first half, just turnover after turnover after turnover. And all things considered, they're right there. And I think their coach even said as much, hey, we're really not valuing the basketball. But all of that, we're still only down by 4 points. If I'm a Florida fan, I'm thinking to myself, hey, if we can just clean up the basketball, we're going to be in really, really good shape in the second half. And that's exactly what happened a little bit.
And their best player didn't score in the first half, and you're down by a possession. If you're Houston, you got to take a little bit more of advantage because Houston only turned the ball over twice in the first half.
Yeah.
And the big thing at the end of the game, I mean, you got to get a shot off. Just unable to get a shot off there, a couple possessions. That's a tough way to lose. A turnover and then essentially another turnover on a pump fake, and he just was like, oh, I got nothing to do. So drop the ball and try to see if his teammate was going to be able to get it and get a shot off. And the coach for Houston, he was very frustrated about that final minute. Not the effort, just the execution of not being able to get a shot off the final couple possessions there.
You know, I thought it was kind of a heads-up play, the fact that he didn't go back and grab the ball, because if he did that, it would have been a traveling violation and a turnover. Now, obviously, you're going at 100 miles an hour. If you could do it all over again, would you try to touch the ball just to stop the clock? Because there was still about 3 seconds left to go. And then if you stop the clock and then you hope for a missed free throw here or there, maybe get another chance back the other way. They were going for the win. They wanted the three. They wanted that quote-unquote, for lack of a better term, one shining moment. And it just didn't happen for him. Good defense there by Clayton Jr.
Yeah, and I thought going into the game, and I didn't mention this yesterday, but if the game was in the 60s, I gave the advantage to Houston just because they're the more physical team. I thought if the game was in the 80s, upper 70s, Florida would win just because of how explosive they are offensively. That's why you got to give Florida a ton of credit. They beat Houston at their game yesterday, and they came back to do it. And I thought Houston was in trouble when they went on that 21-9 run and the game was tied at 48. I'm like, I don't know if they can get it done, but the offense was really clicking there. It was that final minute they just deflated. They couldn't finish. That final minute they played probably their worst basketball all tournament long, and it was the exact opposite of what you saw against Duke on Saturday night.
Well, I'm a sucker for a good radio call. Here's how it sounded last night on Westwood One. Kevin Kugler on the play-by-play last night.
Fire staring at Will Richard. Hands it off now to Uzan. Uzan on the right-hand wing. Stops with 7 seconds. Gives it to Cryer. 6 seconds to go. 5 seconds to Sharp. Top of the key. Lost the dribble. He's got to pick it up. It's scooped up by Condon. Condon secures it. And Florida found a way. From 12 down to the school's third national championship in men's basketball.
So that's Kevin Kugler on the call there last night. Again, you're a radio guy. I'm a radio guy. We both love a good old-fashioned sports play-by-play radio call. That's pretty solid, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, that's really good.
Really?
When you said Kevin, I thought we were going Kevin Harlan. Because
oh, yeah.
Surprised he didn't do the game.
Yeah, no, that was Kevin Kugler. Kevin Harlan, I'm sure, would have been outstanding there, too. But Kevin Kugler, very solid. Not to be outdone, this guy.
Cry, la va a traer hacia arriba, lo va a esperar Richard. Cruza la media cancha, 14 segundos por jugar. El campeonato en juego para los Cougars. La tiene Yusan por la derecha, recogió el drible y ahora le quedan 7 segundos. 5, ahora crash, ¡ay, ay, ay! Camilón no puede tocar la pelota y la va a recuperar, la va a robar Condon y todo ha terminado. Houston, you have a problem. Los Gators, campeones universitarios.
Bet you didn't see that one coming.
No, that's a good one. Houston, you have a problem.
That's one thing I love about Spanish is they've got their own style, their own flavor, their own sort of temperature to do things. But sometimes you go right back to the English. There are certain words in English that don't translate to Spanish. I don't think that's one of them, but a little Spanglish for you right there.
I'm a fan of that. I like how he just switched it to English there at the end. Houston, you have a problem. That's awesome.
Yeah. So big shout out to Kevin Kugler and Mr. Rafa. I believe he was the one on play-by-play there last night. But you mentioned Walter Clayton Jr. Did you know, by the way, zero-star recruit out of high school? How crazy is that?
And I also saw he was going into this year's draft, I'd be interested to see. They had him like a late first to early second projected, and now he might be a lottery pick with what he was able to do. So it's just crazy how a six-game span can change your trajectory at the next level possibly for him. I mean, I'd take a chance on him if I was a team. The guy has championship pedigree, and that's the big thing that I'm seeing.
Not only that, but not playing your best in the big game on offense, but still winning the game on defense. Because that's just it. At the end of the day, you have to find a way to win when everything that you do on one end of the floor isn't necessarily working. That's the mark of a good player. Because guess what? We talk about Michael Jordan and all the shots that he made and, you know, he's had six rings and this, that, and the third. But, like, people forget he was once Defensive Player of the Year. He was an incredible defensive player as well. So it's not, yeah, how many points did you score? Can you force somebody to double clutch to win a game? Hell, he just did it.
He did it. And
biggest stage.
The defense was great, and when his offense wasn't going, I thought he was a little passive. Only four shots in the first half. I mean, let's get a little bit more volume. But he was able to get his teammates involved. He had a good amount of assists last night. When he wasn't scoring, he was impacting the other way offensively. But to your point, the defensive play at the end, that Florida team was tenacious defensively. And that's why they came out with the win, honestly. Like I said, a game in the 60s, that really favors Houston. And Florida just took it to them in that second half. I really thought the game was over when there was a 12-point lead for Houston. I thought, hey, this is the team of destiny. They come all the way back versus Duke. They're going to cruise to victory here today. And Florida just shut the door and said, not today, Junior.
Before we bring in Coach Bjorkman, this may be my hottest take of all time I've ever had on this airwave. Is One Shining Moment overrated? I just feel like it's a little overrated. Everyone's like, give me One Shining Moment. Give me One Shining Moment. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. It hasn't dropped yet. Give it to me. Give it to me. It's like, it's going to be on X tomorrow. It'll be fine. Like, people are still staying awake for it. Like, you know what? If that's you, more power to you. But I can wait till tomorrow.
I'm a wait till tomorrow guy, too. But some of my family members are not.
Yeah.
They got to stay up and watch it. And I was actually thinking, now that, like, we did the video for the State Bees, like, I should put together like a One Shining Moment for the State Bees. I think that could be really cool because we figured out the video stuff.
Yeah.
And like we could have the music going on in the background. We had the calls on some of those videos.
Yeah.
I think that'd be something to do in the future for sure.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just think it's kind of overhyped. I think it's cool. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a really, really cool thing. But the guy that's waiting till 2:30 in the morning for it to drop.
He's got his pot of coffee. Yeah. One Shining Moment.
I'm like, go to bed, buddy. You're like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. But I don't know. It's cool. It's awesome. I love it. But I'm not, you know, going to lose sleep over it.
You can watch it on X the next day.
I'll watch it. Yeah, I'll watch it the next day on social media for sure. All right, Sam Bjorkman, head coach, Aberdeen Christian Track and Field. He'll join us next on FSA. Sports hubbing it up on a Tuesday installment of the show. Sam Bjorkman, head coach of the Aberdeen Christian Knights Track and Field squad, joins us on the phone line. Coach, good to talk with you this morning. How are you?
Great. I appreciate you having me on. I'm excited.
All right. Well, it's our pleasure for sure. And here to talk a little track and field here for the Knights. Off to a good start. I mean, I tell you what, it's kind of hard to believe that it's already spring sports season. Did this kind of sneak up on you a little bit as much as it did us? Or you guys, well, I'm sure you've been kind of chomping at the bit for waiting for this this season to even come.
Yeah. In I guess it's the fifth year I've coached. And you finally start to realize that as soon as Christmas is over, you kind of got to start thinking track from a coaching perspective. So, it's yeah, it comes early. It comes early with basketball overlapping into the beginning of practices. So,
no doubt about it. And we talk a lot about multi-sport athletes on the program and the importance of being able to play multiple sports. But I feel like in track and field, those kind of athletes that play multiple sports, for whatever reason, they excel in track, whether it's jumping, whether it's running. You just see numbers in track and field from the multi-sport athletes. Can you talk a little bit about that from your perspective? Obviously, a small school at Aberdeen Christian, you need those kind of athletes around your school.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of say the championships, the conference championships, state championships are actually kind of won in the fall in the recruiting season, in that you're the athletes are there a lot of times with track. It's a little different than basketball. You don't normally have great basketball players that don't go out, but a lot of times you have great athletes that aren't always out for track. And so the other coaches, being able to show the other coaches you're gonna give them athletes back in quicker, faster, stronger, more athletic. And that's been something that's been exciting with Matt coming back and him really encouraging his guys to come out for track. So we got a great crop of basketball boys, especially this year. So, yeah, and I love these guys coming in. You know, they've so much kind of plyometric work throughout the season for basketball just by playing. And so we benefit from that on the jump side. I think that's what contributes to the boys kind of strong jumps team year after year the last few years. So,
Coach Bjorkman over here speaking French, plyometric. I can't even spell that. But no, you're right.
Jumping, yeah. All the jumping.
Yeah, there you go. I'm a simple man, Coach. I can't spell those sorts of things. But Sam Bjorkman joining us here, head coach of the Aberdeen Christian Track and Field Squad on FSA. And you mentioned some of the guys on the basketball side of things that are partaking in track and field. And you talk about sort of the recruiting. Is that something that you have typically done, or as it pertains to you're kind of like inter recruiting with certain programs, whether that is girls basketball or boys basketball, other sports, what have you? Is that something that you've been typically, for lack of a better term, known for, or is this kind of new to you to be like go to the other coaches and they're like, hey, you know, who do you want to send over to my squad when it comes to springtime?
Yeah. I think it depends on like coaches that you're working with. And then, you know, of course, Matt has an athletic training background. And so being the AD and the head basketball coach, he's saying, well, yeah, I'm glad you play basketball, but you still got to get stronger. You still got to jump higher. You still got to get faster and more athletic. It's something that I've always keeping an eye out for who those athletes are and trying to build relationships. Ultimately, it's really who you already have and how much they can recruit. The best recruiters are the kids that love the sport and see the value in it, I feel like. And so building a culture that kids want to invite their friends into is a big goal of mine.
And who are some of the athletes that have really stood out to you early on in the season? I'm seeing here on the girls' side of things, Shantia LaCroix. I mean, what a season she's been having here. Seventh in the 100-meter yesterday at the Scott Underwood Invite. She had a really nice showing in the Northern State Open. Are there a couple individuals and athletes that have really surprised you here early on this season?
Yeah. I mean, Shantae is probably right on track for kind of what you'd expect after the last few years. She's been, she's been really good and just keeps getting better. So I'm excited for her as long as she can stay healthy. I think she's set for a really good season. And then there's the group of girls that have kind of been that she sprinted with over the last few years just keep getting faster. So yesterday down at Scott Underwood, they ran faster without Shantae in the 4x1 and 4x2 than they ran with her last year. So they're all getting faster. So that'd be like Hope Ellison, Ari Cobbs, Allie Isaacson, Peyton Screen. So that's been awesome to see. And then on the boys' side, I mean, you never know year to year which guys are kind of where they're at in their development. But, yeah, we knew Dylan Place at state in the triple jump last year as a freshman, which is kind of unique. And he's only gotten faster in spring year, it seems like. And he had a great first meet at Northern State. And then Brooks put probably over a foot onto his long jump the first time out and actually placed yesterday at Scott Underwood. So really fun to see those guys coming out strong in the jumps. And then overall, though, there's really a group of about six young sprinters that look like they're going to be almost interchangeable in the short sprints. And so that's pretty fun. We've never had such a good crop of sprinters on the boys' side. So,
well, Coach, like you said, it's year five for you over there at Aberdeen Christian. Have you ever been approached by a certain student athlete, and you don't have to get into names or what have you if you don't want to, but they really seem to excel at a certain event. Maybe that's the 100 meter, and then you realize, you know, why don't you just try discus or just try shot put, and then they turn out to be better at that event than they were with the one that they feel the most comfortable with. Have you ever been associated with a student athlete like that, or do you kind of try to encourage players like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd say before, but just as an example, I don't think he'd mind me saying, before Brooks hit his kind of last growth spurt, he actually was just throwing as like a junior high boy, and he'd sneak into a relay or two, you know. And then I think late eighth grade year and then freshman year, he started seeing, oh, wait a minute, I guess I'm quicker than I quicker than I realized. And so, I mean, yesterday he ran our fastest 100 out of the boys group yesterday. So that's just an example. I feel kind of bad for our throws coach. We end up taking some of the studs if they end up being pretty fast. So yeah, there's definitely different stuff like that. Some pretty, you just don't know, and you got to let kids try. You can't always just eyeball athletic ability or whatever their potential might be.
I'm curious, when you go to these invites like Scott Underwood, there's all kinds of schools, you guys, Clark, Dole, Faulkton, Great Plains Lutheran, you know, the Northern State, you had Central, Roncalli, Britton, Frederick. Is it a little bit chaotic in your eyes? I mean, can you do a lot of coaching at these invites? I mean, there's a lot going on. My guess is you prep during the week, during practice, and it's kind of the kids, you know, time to show out during these invites. Can you just kind of explain that aspect of it?
Yeah, well, a lot of times early season, there is a lot of coaching that happens. I like to be really hands-on early on, and especially indoors. As of now, there's no official indoor season, so there's no championship or anything like that. And so it's, I think of it as like a ramped up practice. And what are we doing? We're building habits. We're building habits that are going to pay off, you know, mid and end of May is kind of the goal there. And so pretty hands-on there. And then once you get to the big kind of the highlight meets Howard Wood and State, there's just obstacles to actually actively coaching at those meets. There's limit. You can't be on the infield, like on the football field there during the meet. Once the kids go into the shoot, they're lined up for their event, and it might be half an hour before the event. So you're just kind of hands off anyways. And so it's kind of hands on, high coaching environment, like early on. And then we're kind of trying to ease them off of that and get them flying on their own by the time early May comes. But I try to coach a lot actually at these early meets because of the because we're trying to set and build habits for, like I said, for May. So
yeah, so it kind of just sounds like these invites, they're kind of building blocks to the eventual, like you said, Howard Wood and the state meet. It's just you're trying to build a block each invite, and that's kind of how I'm looking at it. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, 100%. That's exactly. The inputs are way more important than the outputs in March and April.
All right, well, looking forward to the season continuing here. Back in action a week from tomorrow, or week from today, I should say, at the Chester invite, according to your schedule, unless you guys are getting after something before that or anything like that?
Yeah, we actually are going to we're actually going up to Mobridge on Thursday as long as the forecast holds here. So so we'll be up there Thursday all day. So
all right, looking forward to that. And I think you guys are gonna have a pretty nice week on tap, albeit a bit breezy, but we're supposed to be in the 60s and 50s for the most part this week, and then again low 70s this upcoming Saturday and Sunday. So looking forward to the nice warm temperatures here in the not too distant future. Coach, appreciate it, and good luck this weekend and the rest of the way. I'm sure we'll talk to you later on down the road.
Thanks a ton. I really appreciate it.
Well, you got it. Our pleasure, for sure. Sam Bjorkman, head coach of the Aberdeen Christian Knights track and field squad here on FSA. And like he mentioned, and like you mentioned as well, really good start for the squad for the program this
year.
Yeah,
really a nice start. And we talk a lot about these athletes being able to just switch, you know, flip the switch, really, being from whether their season they're in the winter and being able to jump right into the track and field side of things. I thought it was interesting hearing that. You know, these invites, they're just kind of building blocks to the next thing. You want to be at your best in May towards the end of the season, and you're working on maybe some different things, and I think it's good that you can get that kind of coaching because, you know, I've never really been to a track and field event. I know it's just chaotic with all these schools here. How much coaching can you really do? And it sounds like he's trying to get the most out of these events early on in the season, like every coach is. But just hearing that perspective was definitely interesting to me.
When I worked at Big Stone Radio, I helped out with a track and field event there, and I was just taking measurements in the triple jump. And it is incredibly chaotic. So, I mean, all of the stuff that's going on, you've got throws over here, discus over there, you've got, you know, the run around the track literally over here, you've got hurdles. It's incredibly chaotic. So I don't know how any head coach can do it all. I mean, obviously it's not just one coach. He's got different coaches and what have you. So there's a lot going on. If you've never been to a track and field event before, and not just you or anybody out there, I would encourage you to go because it is wild. There's a lot going on.
And that's why there's a team aspect to it because of the different coaches. Like you might have a different discus coach or a shot put, a guy who specializes in that, a jump coach, a running coach. So that's why there's a team aspect to it. Yes, it's individual. And we talked to Dave last week or 2 weeks ago about kind of the individual, hey, I'm going to beat you for fourth and fifth place, which I thought was interesting. So, yeah, there is a team aspect to it, man, and that was really cool hearing his perspective on it for sure.
So the Aberdeen Wings need just one more result to officially clinch a playoff berth, a win on Friday or Saturday. They are in. A loss for the St. Cloud Norsemen this week. At any point in time, they are in. They are absolutely in the driver's seat. We always say you want to control your own destiny, and that's exactly where they're at right now. We've got your Aberdeen Wings Wings Weekly upcoming next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen.
Welcome to another edition of Wings Weekly. I'm Aaron Smith, joined as always by head coach and general manager Scott Langer. Scott, big home weekend this past weekend, able to get a weekend sweep of the Minot Mentaros. A huge 4 points, kicking it off Friday, 2-1 win. Minot strikes first. They were able to throw a puck, actually, that ended up hitting off a defender's skate and went to the back of the net to take a 1-0 lead. And then it was the Wings in the first period after that, getting their offensive production from Cade Moxham, scores his 20th of the season at the 18:04 mark. Jibber Cool bats in one out of the air for his 14th of the season at the 19-minute mark, so both goals late in the first period. And then Cunningham basically shuts the door from there on out, stopping 31 of 32 shots he faced. Big 2-1 win Friday night. Give us your thoughts on that as far as how big of it. Obviously, it was an important win, but to get off the weekend on the right foot and kind of get our footing out there, get those big 2 points, and then going into Saturday night.
Yeah. I mean, it was obviously it didn't start the way we wanted it to start. And we've had a few of those starts where we've had some unlucky bounces. And, you know, again, that happens. So, but I think the positive is our guys upped their game after that and, you know, found a way to finish that period. Coming in here into the dressing room with a 2-1 lead, and defensively the second and the third period and our goaltending I thought was very, very good. I mean, that's a team that can score goals, and you know, we just didn't allow them many grade A chances.
Yeah, and obviously momentum going into Saturday, somewhat of an offensive explosion Saturday night, putting up 7 goals, ending up with a 7-2 Saturday win and weekend sweep. Again, a huge 4 points obviously as the playoff race is concerned. But just rundown of Saturday's game. Jibber gets the lone goal of the first period with his 15th of the season, second of the weekend. Second period was all Wings as Backel made it 2-0 with his 13th of the year. Tishkovich gets his 13th of the year, and Wilson scores his 14th of the season to make it 4-0 Wings after two. Minot does score early in the third, but Tishkovich responds, getting his second of the game, 14th of the season, just 20 seconds later. So a big I mean, it's 4-1 at that point. Like you said, they're a very offensive team, so they could have made a run there. Tishkovich's goal kind of puts a stop to that and gets the momentum back on our side. Matthew Martin-Gaudreau scores his 4th of the year. Minot gets another, but it would be Jibber scoring his 3rd of the weekend, 16th of the year with the empty netter to take the 7-2 Saturday night win. Cunningham, once again, great net all weekend, stopping 34-36 on Saturday. Just what were you able to see on from Saturday's game?
Yeah, I mean, it started right from the drop of the puck. Just our tenacity. I mean, we were getting pucks back right away. A lot of the 50-50 battles went our way. We were good on the dot. It was just an all-around good game. And, you know, we got out, and obviously we made some hockey plays. And when you make plays, you have the ability to score goals, and we did. And, you know, it's against a really good hockey team, but you know, that's what we needed. We needed a game like that because our guys have been working really hard in practice. And obviously the last, you know, seven games or so, they've been playing a good brand of hockey. And, you know, we caught Minot on a night, and, you know, obviously that was a great game for our confidence and for our fans.
Yeah. And talk a little bit about Damien Cunningham. He's been sharp lately. He gave up 3 goals this weekend on 68 shots faced. Against a team that's put up 206 goals so far in the season. So just talk a little bit about him and his performance over the weekend, not only this last weekend, but also against Watertown the week before, and just how he's been playing as of late.
Yeah, I think he's playing his best hockey right now, and that's all you can ask of. I mean, when we we recruited Damon in the summer and brought him through the process. You know, we brought him here with him being the guy that can help us get into the playoffs and make a playoff run. And, you know, he's doing everything he can right now to make that happen.
Yeah. And then on the other end of that, another star, I guess, as the offensive part of it, Jibber Cool, scoring 3 goals this past week and had a couple of assists too. He's kind of stepped his game up late in the season. Obviously you want to see that and the players playing well. Talk a little bit about his play lately.
Yeah, really good. Arguably the best player on the ice here for the last month. He's just such a smart, high IQ hockey player. Ability to score, ability to make plays. Obviously, he's a big kid that can skate. So, you know, he puts the work in. Jibber's a guy, it's Monday today. Today was a maintenance day for most of the guys. He's out there working on his game. That's just the type of kid he is. And he's got a real serious approach to his game. And, you know, he gets rewarded for it. But he's definitely doing a really good job for us. And that line with him, Lilson, and many gray horses, that seems like they got a little bit of chemistry.
Yeah, absolutely. And putting yourself into a spot where haven't clinched a playoff spot yet, but hopefully that's coming. Speaking of that, upcoming games, North Iowa coming to town this weekend, April 11th and 12th. We haven't seen them since before Christmas. We had early games with them here, and then we traveled there twice in December. 4-2 on the year, head-to-head in the season. What do you expect to see from them? What have you seen on tape as of late as they come into the OD this weekend? Final regular season.
They're still working really hard. You know, they have some skill in their lineup. They can skate. Just watching some of the video, I thought they played Austin really, really hard this past weekend. And, you know, when our two teams get together, it's always a hard fought match. So I expect them to come in here and, you know, trying to ruin our chances of being a playoff hockey team. And, you know, we're going to have to be ready. We're going to have a good week of preparation and we're going to have to play another good game like we did Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, and speaking of that, quick look at the standings. Bismarck, 92 points on top of the Central Division. They actually clinched the Central Division and the President's Cup over the weekend with home sweep of the Mallards, winning that Saturday game to clinch the overall NAHL regular season championship in overtime. Austin moves into second. They swept North Iowa this past weekend. They're at 85 points. Minot stays at 81 points, so they are in third. Wings are in fourth right now with 68 points, 1 point needed to clinch that playoff berth for the 8th straight season. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But St. Cloud right behind them, 63 points. They had a 3-point weekend playing Thursday and Friday this past weekend, getting a shootout win and a shootout loss against Watertown. Just quickly looking at their upcoming week, they've actually got 6 points on the table with 3 games, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday, they're playing the Mallards, and then Friday and Saturday, another home-and-home against Watertown. North Iowa in 44 points, swept by Austin. Watertown right behind them. They've made a great run as of late. They're at 43 points, hopefully getting some points this weekend and hopefully surpassing North Iowa if they're not able to get any points against us. And then Mallards at 24 points. So we're down to the final 2 games of the regular season versus North Iowa. As I mentioned, we need a point to secure the 8th straight playoff berth. COVID year, we were sitting in a playoff position at that point, but not counting that one. What does that say about the culture and just the organization that we've established here as far as a possibility of 8 straight trips to the Robertson Cup playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the standard here. It's an expectation. That when we recruit these guys, that they want to be winners and they want to be in the playoffs. They want to compete in the playoffs. And, you know, the ultimate goal is obviously always to win the cup at the very end. So, you know, it says a lot about our culture. It says a lot about the young men that we've brought in here over the years and the job that they've done. They work extremely hard and they deal with a lot of adversity throughout the seasons. But, you know, we've found a way to get into the postseason each of those years. And again, this year, we're working towards that, you know, one more time.
Absolutely. And once again, home this weekend, final home regular season games of the year against North Iowa. Friday night's Yelda Shrine Teddy Bear Toss Night. Bring a stuffed animal to throw onto the ice after the first Wings goal. Those animals will be donated to local charities. Saturday is the home jersey auction, so plan to stick around with Val Jark and Jark Whirly Auctions after the game for a live auction. And that game is presented by My Place Hotels. Thanks again, Scott, for taking some time with us. And Ryan, we'll be right back with Leo Bulgakov after this.
Welcome back to the second portion of Wings Weekly. This week, we have Leonid Bulgakov from Minsk, Belarus. Last week, we had Nikolai Tishkovich, who's also from. And you guys, did you guys play together back home?
Yes, we played in the same team for 9 years, I believe.
Okay, yeah, so you guys knew each other before coming here and everything. Awesome. So, you know, being here for a couple of years and everything, we've mic'd you up, you've been on this show, so we have a general idea of how you got into hockey. But last year, around this time, you committed to Augustana University. And so talk about what your commitment process was like. What was the decision-making process behind all of that?
So basically, I had two offers. It was Alaska and Augustana. And Alaska gave me 1 weekend to process the offer, and Augustana called me and invited me to visit their campus. And I decided, oh, it's like great opportunities. You got a brand new team, brand new ice rink, like all brand new, like new everything. And good school program. And I visited their campus on the next day. It's kind of small, but it has everything, so I just like it. And on the next day, I received a call from coach. He said, hey, Leo, like, we like you. You're really bad in English, but you're just scared to speak. So, like, you're just getting better and better. And just happy to have you for next 4 years or whatever. So I was, like, really excited to say definitely yes. And that's it.
And your English, by the way, from last year to this year, can you tell that it's gotten better or...
Yes, I definitely can tell it's gotten better. I mean, I understand more easily. I can construct my sentence easily. And I mean, I still have issues, like a lot of issues that I had to work on, but it's definitely got better.
Yeah. Your decision-making going to Augustana too, did it have a little bit to do with the fact that you were going to be close to your Aberdeen Wings fan base too?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have, I've been in 3 billet houses and maybe it will help me somehow. So is there close? It might help me in the future. Like what if I have some problem, I have somebody to ask something for, they can come and watch my games. I mean, still like have friends here, something like they can visit me, they can support me.
Yeah.
So definitely it made an effect.
Are you excited to have some of those Augie home games and look up in the crowd and see familiar faces?
It could be nice.
Over the two, and this is kind of just a fun fact for you, because I don't know if you actually know this.
Okay.
But over the 2 years of you being here, you've entered fourth for franchise all-time goals.
Oh, really?
And fifth for franchise all-time penalty minutes per season. You also have...
What can I say?
7 game-winning goals, 6 of which come from this season alone. Do you feel like you have, you know, this being your age-out season, do you feel like you have left your mark on the Aberdeen Wings organization?
I mean, yes, definitely. Every guy who came here, and even if they didn't score or something, they definitely left their mark here. But I don't know, you just cannot stop going. You're just trying to go on every game and score more goals, make an effect for your team, like good effect, not bad, as this penalty minutes. So you just going on the ice every game and just trying to be the best. I don't know.
Talk about, you know, playing in Aberdeen in general. This was your first time coming over to the States, right? Playing here, or one of your first long time experiences, you know, living experiences here.
Experience, I could say.
But how have you liked your playing experience here in Aberdeen as a whole?
It's a huge fan base in Aberdeen. Every game, you're like so excited to hear something from the stands, like, hey, Leo, something like this. Or they're just real supportive. Every time after games, if you have skate with the fans, they're like coming and saying like really kind of words. So it's really motivates you. I don't know. About league, it's just harder, probably physically.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just so tough, and you have to get used to it so quickly because you don't have time to relax.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the main differences.
Because we've had this conversation before. We're back home. You played on bigger ice.
Yes.
So coming over here, playing on smaller ice and everything, you had to adapt to that pretty quickly.
Yeah. So basically in Europe, we have European ice rinks. It's bigger. It's like wider and longer. But in the past 2 or 3 years, they tried to change it. And most of our ice rinks are Canadians
mm-hmm.
rinks. So I had experience to play on smaller rinks. And I cannot say I used to it, but it definitely made something to get used to faster
mm-hmm.
for this league.
Which is probably how you got all those penalty minutes in these past couple years, right?
Yes.
And then segues into what has been your favorite memory so far in junior hockey and with the Aberdeen Wings?
Junior hockey, probably when I scored to Bismarck in overtime in a playoff. Yes, suddenly. We lost them last year in first round, but it was a really nice memory.
So to even take them to that game five was like monumental.
Yes, it was really good. So it was first goal I scored in the third period, and then we went in overtime, and it was a game-winning goal. So it was really nice.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll take a step away from your playing, of hockey here for a second. So you win tickets. I love to ask this question, but I've asked it to Minnesota kids, so
okay.
I kind of knew what their answer was going to be, but I'm excited to see what you're going to say for this. You win tickets to game 7 of the Stanley Cup final. Okay. Which 4 teammates are you taking with you, and what 2 teams are you hoping to see play in it?
4 teammates from our team?
Mm-hmm.
Jibber, Sebi, Ryder, Tish, Mox, Johnny.
I said 4.
Oh, you said 4.
Four
I thought you said 14.
No, you can
I'm
take
like
4
14.
Teammates.
I have to name 14 teammates.
4
oh my God.
Teammates.
4. Okay.
So narrow that
let's
down.
Make it, let's make it harder, yeah. Jibber, Sebi, Ryder, probably.
Okay. And what 2 teams are you hoping to see play in game 7, who's taking home the Stanley Cup?
I know it's not going to happen, but I'd be really excited to see Pittsburgh and Washington, but Pittsburgh do not make it, so.
And you want Pittsburgh to win it?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, like, Crosby is my favorite player, so.
Okay.
And yes.
Okay. So if you had to drive to this game, out of those teammates, who are you letting play music on the road trip?
Sebi.
Okay.
Sebi.
And who's not getting the aux cord?
Jibber.
That's surprising. I thought Jibber had some okay music taste, but not according to you.
His music taste, so like every time he's on aux, it might play like country, and then hip hop.
Okay.
You're like, huh? It's like changing moves so fast.
Yeah. Okay. So it needs to be like one thing. You don't like it to be all over the place?
At least a little bit smoother. Like this transition has to be a little bit smoother.
Okay, gotcha. So yesterday, too, Ovechkin passed Gretzky's record.
Yeah.
Did you get to see any of the clips or anything like that?
Yeah, I saw a lot of clips.
A lot of
probably
them.
Probably every single one. I've been scrolling Instagram, TikTok, like everything.
It's
like
just
YouTube.
All over the place?
Yes.
Who do you think will be the next player to break the record?
I'm not even sure it's going to be someone. It's a really huge accomplishment.
It is.
It's like 895 goals. It's,
it could happen.
I cannot even commentate it. It's huge.
It is huge. So you don't have any player in mind?
No.
You think it's going to stay like that for a
not
really
a single
long
one.
Time?
No.
Awesome. Do you yourself have any hockey superstitions?
Do not touch my sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And before a game, especially.
Yep.
And I think that's it. I'm not really that picky. I don't know.
Yeah.
Picky.
You're not a right to left kind of guy. You just
yes.
put on your equipment, go out
yes.
there, and.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like when somebody just like talk about my goals. Like, hell yeah, let's go score a goal
yeah.
for me. And like what do you mean score a goal for me? It's just like you go on and play in a hockey and not about goals.
Yeah.
So,
and then because this ties into the games this weekend, obviously Teddy Bear Toss is this Friday. Who is scoring the Teddy Bear Toss goal?
Me. I score.
And if it's not you,
whatever is the goal. If it's not me, it's still me.
Very funny.
Jibber.
Okay.
Jibber.
He's on a little bit of a heater. So.
Yeah.
Moving on to this past weekend's game, obviously some huge home wins for a playoff push against Minot. Huge, huge sweep against them too. The first time that we've done that this season.
Yeah.
How important was it for this team to be able to get two huge wins against Minot, especially getting this close to playoffs?
I mean, it was definitely really big. We were tied with St. Cloud for playoff games. Now we swept Minot, and I don't know, just North Ivalev. We just got to win them, and we're in the playoffs. So I don't even know how to commentate. It's just huge.
Mm-hmm.
Just Minot, really good team, and it was really tough to play against them. But as you see, we're better. We can do this. We can win everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Base Mario Coast and Minot, doesn't matter what team it is. But, like, they have a really good band here, a lot of good players. Everybody on the heat right now, especially Jibber, Moxie, Sebi, like everybody. I don't know.
Which segues perfectly into the next question. Do you think it boosts the team's overall confidence going into the games this weekend to be able to get a home sweep like that?
I mean, yeah, sure. So first of all, we're home. It's our barn. We're like on fire. We won seven games mm-hmm. in a row, right? We won seven games in a row. It definitely gives us some kind of boost. It says that, yes, we can do this. We've done it before. And, yeah, I don't know. If I can say it, like, North Iowa, it's not a good team as Minot. So, I mean, I understand you cannot say it. You never can say it because they can come
can
and beat you.
Team.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's true. Minot is a like really great team, so we just gotta go and win them.
Mm-hmm. And then, like we were saying, North Iowa is a team that we haven't seen in a while. Obviously, they have taken us to overtime a couple of times. So, what are going to be some keys to the games this weekend?
Just all the same, just play our game, forecheck, backcheck, more shots. Just play as a team. That's it.
Forecheck, backcheck, yeah. Paycheck, right?
Yeah, all of this. Right.
So like we were saying, upcoming games, next home games versus North Iowa Bulls, Friday, April 11th, is the Yelda Shrine Teddy Bear Toss. Bring a stuffed animal to throw onto the ice after the first Wings goal. According to Leo, it will be him. Animals will be donated to local charities. Saturday, April 5th, is the Wings home jersey auction with Val Jarkt of Jark Whirly Auction. Whose jersey is going for the most? Should I ask you that, too?
Luke Beckel.
Oh, that's good. Or Connie's.
Luke Beckel.
I'm wrong. All right, the jersey auction will be immediately following the game. We will hold a live auction for this year's home jerseys. Corporate sponsor is My Place Hotels. Tickets available for all Wings home games at tickets.aberdeenwings.com or any of the Sea Express locations in Aberdeen. Sponsorships and reserve season tickets are now available for the 2025-2026 season. Call Aaron at 605-380-5852 for more information. And for all the latest news and information on the Wings, visit AberdeenWings.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. Once again, Leonid Bulgakov, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. 16.
And that'll wrap up this week's Wings Weekly.